Let's kick things off chatting with travel expert Onanta Forbes, who joins us each week to discuss some of the travel news and travel trends. You can follow her adventures on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Onanta Forbes. OnantaForbes.com is her website. Hello, Onanta.
Hi, Randy. How are you?
I'm good. I wish I was on a cruise, actually. It's been a while since I've been on a cruise. We're going to talk about cruising, mostly because of this list of awards, the best cruise line rankings. This is from U.S. News and World Report. They're the publishers, best hotels, best vacations, best travel reward, best of everything.
I know. It was quite interesting to see what they thought of. And it's cruising is really popular. Like, as far as repeat and referral type of travel arrangements, mm-hmm. cruising tops the list because there's so many options to choose from. It's a very competitive market. So if you have a favorite cruise line or you want to try somebody new that's into the marketplace, I think there's a lot of options for you. And also you could see a lot of the world by cruising.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are a dedicated bunch. I will say that. And I would include myself. I shouldn't say they. We are a dedicated bunch as far as cruising. I have my favorite. I'm a Holland America snob, mostly because I worked with it for so long. And I do like their product. But one that popped up on this list of best cruise line rankings, 40% of the top accolades went to Viking.
Right.
So I've never sailed on Viking. I think you have. But what are your thoughts?
Viking's really good because it also offers river cruising as well as ocean cruising. So that's it covers quite a bit for different types of travelers. Now for river cruising, that's where it kind of first came into the play. River cruising is hugely popular for travelers worldwide. And it gives you a more immersive way to see different parts of the world. I've gone with Viking on a river cruise through Europe, as well as their ocean liners. Now, I like about their ocean is that it's adults only. It's not very big. It's like only, say, 940 passenger count. There's no casino on board. You get a shore excursion included daily. If you wish to take advantage of that, which I would definitely recommend that. And it's a very low-key kind of atmosphere. There's no disco. It's like maybe a violinist or a celloist playing in the evening in the background. If you are like me and my partner, when we go dining, we can easily get a table for two or hook up with other new travelers that we haven't met before. So it's a nice experience to go. And it offers different opportunities for places within the world. Also, some interesting shakeups. Virgin Voyages, they're kind of screaming onto the market. They're the best cruise lines for the money, which is great for anybody watching their budget. Now, again, Virgin, interestingly enough, is adults only. It's run by or created by Richard Branson of Virgin. So, you know, it's going to be unique in its look and its feel and its offering. So another new, person or cruise line on the marketplace in the last couple of years that you should look for.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the best cruise line for families was Disney, followed by Royal Caribbean, Norwegian. One that's suspiciously absent in just glancing at some of the lists here is Carnival, and some of the mainstays. Like you're right in some of the newer companies, like Explora Journeys comes up a lot. Regent Seven Seas, there's Viking that we mentioned, Silver Seas, Celebrity, Disney. But the mainstays that seem to have been there for so long, and I'm thinking of Princess, Carnival, and even Holland America, seem to be absent from this list.
Interesting, isn't that? It's basically showcasing opportunities for cruisers or just travelers in general to maybe experience something new. And you're right about Explora Journeys because they, it's almost like a newcomer and they, yearly they release new ships. They have a pretty impressive debut. They landed in the top three across six categories. So I haven't traveled on Explorer yet, but I've had colleagues within our office that have and clients that have, and they really quite enjoy it. And as you say, you've mentioned the top three for families, for couples, Explorer's one, as well as Seabourn. In luxury, as well as Explorer and Viking, Regent Seven Seas, and in dining for mainstream, it's Virgin that takes top spot ahead of Celebrity and Disney. Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of cruise ships out there, but there's even more coming for 2026, and some of the highly anticipated ships include the Norwegian Luna. And this is a Prima Plus class ship featuring the longest and the fastest slides at sea. I don't know if I'd do that, but there's lots of people that would. And then Legend of the Seas, which is Royal Caribbean's third iconic or icon class ship, but it's including eight neighborhoods. Category six, what does that mean? Water park. It's like, wow. And a production
It's
of
better than a
Charlie,
five, I guess.
I guess. A production of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And then Regent has a new ultra luxury vessel. It's called Seven Seas Prestige. It's coming out at the end of next year, and it's featuring all suite accommodations and one of the highest passenger to space ratios in the industry. And then Viking's coming out with another ship. It's called the Libra, and it's set to be the first hydrogen powered cruise ship focusing on zero emission and navigation. We've talked about in the past how sustainable travel is really important or becoming very important in traveler's choice. So something to consider when you are looking at new opportunities to sail on ships. And people really like being the first on the ship. Like, can you imagine being on a ship? It's inaugural sailing and nobody slept in that bed before.
Yes, there is something to that. And you're right. Like, there is so much out there, so many options. It would be very confusing to a newcomer. Like I said, people are quite dedicated to their cruise line. But for somebody that's new to cruising, say they want to try it out, if they came to you, what would be some of your suggestions in beginning to plan a cruise?
I would ask them, what who they're traveling with, first of all. Are you traveling with family and friends? Are you just traveling as a couple? Are you traveling as a solo? Because that makes a difference as well. And my other question was, where would you like to travel to as far as where in the world? Because there's lots of opportunity for destinations that are mainstream, but also new destinations. Like Explorer has one that's going to Oman. And that is an up and coming destination. And if you want to know more, go on to my website. I just posted something about that destination, about why you should go. So it really does depend on what's included too. Like sometimes there's flights included, sometimes there's a free business class upgrade that's included. And that's, it's always better to arrive in at like arrive in better shape when you go business class, right? It is Wi-Fi included because that's hugely important to people as well. And specialty dining, that is huge. Like as far as not having to pay for going to a restaurant that's maybe a little bit more upscale than the usual dining options on a cruise ship. So it really does depend on who to travel with. I think one of my favorite experiences was going and I traveled with Princess and with Seabourn and with Windstar to this destination was French Polynesia. It
Oh,
was such
nice.
a beautiful destination. We were on smaller ships. It was the opportunity to go to different islands that that you just kind of see about in movies that you think, oh my gosh, am I really here? Because and the people are just beautiful. I think I've shared on past podcasts. One of a favorite memory is we're in port. It's Sunday afternoon, going into the evening, and you're looking out on your from your deck, and you see the streams of white coming down from the hills, and it was people going to church. And then when they got to church, you heard them sing. because the churches have open air windows, and it was just kind of a moment that you get when I'm lucky enough to travel.
I always envied people that live in like Fort Lauderdale, the Florida area, or any place that's close to a cruise port, because they can just drive and, they can do a cruise for $1,000. Like, because the biggest
Yes.
part of cruising for people like us that are landlocked is getting to the cruise port, and a big chunk of the cost is just the flights alone.
It is. And a lot of those people who are at the ports already sometimes have special resident prices because they're already in Florida. They can just jump on a cruise and go, like on a 3, 5, or 7 night cruise throughout the Caribbean. So you're right, kind of lucky when you're already there and you can go. And a lot of people now are definitely considering how they're flying to the destinations because it's not always easy to fly, and also you have to get to the airport so early and stuff. So it's nice when you like when Alaska season comes for Western Canada, an easy jaunt to get to Vancouver.
Exactly. What about just, and I don't want to get bogged down too much because there is so much you can do, just choosing a cabin or that type of thing.
I always recommend a choice of a balcony cabin. It's you have to look at costs, absolutely, because everybody has a budget. But I think it's a nice opportunity to have a different aspect of your cruise. Like you could get up morning, have a coffee, watch as you enter a port, or just as you are cruising, just to see the scenery. Alaska again is a great destination to see, perhaps wildlife or the calving of a glacier, seeing that or hearing it. And in the evening as well, having a cocktail and just enjoying just the peace and the quiet of cruising. I know earlier this year when we went on our Holland America cruise, it was just nice to go out on our deck and just read a book and just enjoy a sea day on our balcony. So I would definitely recommend a balcony when you're traveling. And then also your packages, what does that include? So Wi-Fi dining, shore excursions. It's important that you get the best value when you go on your cruise. So that's where your travel agent comes in and they can look at where you want to go and how long you want to go for, and then go. If you're a first-time cruiser, maybe just start with a 7-day cruise because you don't know if you like cruising, if you can manage this the motion. But saying that, a lot of these ships are very technologically advanced that stabilize, so you don't really have to worry about that in a sense. But people are can be quite sensitive with regards to motion, so we have to make sure that cruising is the right choice for you.
Stay close to the shore. I don't know if you'd want to do an Atlantic cruise the first time.
That's right, and you might, and you don't like if it's your first time cruising. I might even go for a port intensive cruise, not a lot of sea days at first, till you know, or depending on your level of travel experience. If you how zen you want to be.
I always say too, once you've had a balcony, you'll never go back.
And you shouldn't.
Absolutely. Lots of great tips, lots of great advice. Onanda Forbes is a travel expert. You can follow her on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Onanda Forbes. You can check out her website, onandaforbes.com. And if you want to go on a cruise, that's you're the person to ask, right?
Please call me.
Thanks, Onanda.
Thank you. Have a good day.